Scripture reveals that those who participate in the great white throne judgment will be resurrected for the very purpose of facing the divine judge, Jesus Christ. During his earthly ministry, Jesus soberly announced that an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, dear friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today, we continue in our series on Bible prophecy. It's called Let's Talk Bible Prophecy. And I've loved this. I've enjoyed bringing these series of messages to you. I hope you're getting blessed by them as well. Today, we're talking specifically about the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, first of all, we need to ask this question. What is an intermediate state? Many of you have heard that term, and we need to explain that. The state of our existence between physical death and the future resurrection is properly called the intermediate state. This is an in-between state. That is, it is the state of our existence between the time our mortal bodies die and the time when we receive resurrection bodies in the future. So, the intermediate state, then, is a disembodied state. It is a state in which one's physical body is in the grave or has been turned to ashes, while one's spirit or soul is either in heaven with Christ or in a place of great suffering apart from Christ. One's destiny in the intermediate state depends completely upon whether one has placed faith in Christ during one's earthly existence. This intermediate state of believers is one of bliss and joy. But the intermediate state of unbelievers, those who have rejected Christ, this is too horrific to ponder. At the moment of death, unbelievers, Christ rejectors, go as disembodied spirits to a temporary place of suffering. We see that in Luke 16. And there, they await their future resurrection and judgment with an eventual destiny in the lake of fire, which we see in Revelation 20. The intermediate state of the ungodly dead is described in 2 Peter 2, verse 9. There it's written, the Lord knows how to keep the righteous. The Lord knows how to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. This word keep in this verse is in the present tense, indicating that the wicked unbelievers are held captive and punished continually. Peter is portraying them as condemned prisoners, being closely guarded in a spiritual jail while awaiting future sentencing and final judgment. So what is it like for the wicked dead in this intermediate state? In Jesus' discussion of the rich man and Lazarus in the afterlife, we discern a number of very sobering facts about unbelievers in the afterlife. Jesus said that the wicked dead suffer in agony. He also said that no one can comfort the wicked dead in the afterlife. There is no possibility of the wicked dead leaving this place of torment. And finally, Jesus said the wicked dead are entirely responsible for not having listened to the warnings of Scripture while on earth. Wow, that's heavy. Probably the worst torment the unbeliever will experience will be the perpetual knowledge that he or she could have trusted in Christ for salvation and escaped punishment. Throughout the endless eons and eons of eternity, the unbeliever will always know that he or she could have enjoyed a heavenly destiny by trusting in Christ while alive on earth. Well, so is punishment in the intermediate state then only temporary? Yes, it is. The wicked dead, Christ rejectors, will eventually be resurrected. We find that in Acts 24, verse 15. They will then face judgment at the great white throne judgment. Then their eternal punishment will begin in the lake of fire. Well, wait a minute, Tony. Will the wicked dead have a second chance? The answer is no. I'm telling you, it's sobering to realize that Scripture represents the state of unbelievers after death as a fixed state, and there are no second chances. Once one has passed through the doorway of death, there are no further opportunities to repent and turn to Christ for salvation. Hebrews 9:27 affirms, it says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Well, I'm telling you, woe to those who reject Jesus Christ in this life. Somebody else asked this question. Doesn't 1 Peter 3:18 and 19 indicate that people might have a second chance? You know, some Christians wonder whether 1 Peter 3:18 and 19 points to a second chance after death. The passage says that after Christ died, he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. Now, this does not refer to the wicked dead hearing the gospel again. No. Many evangelical scholars believe that the spirits in prison are fallen angels who grievously sinned against God. These spirits may have been fallen angels of Genesis 6, verses 1 through 6, who were disobedient to God during the days of Noah. Apparently, entering into sexual relations with human women. The Greek word for proclaimed in this passage is keruso. That's in 1 Peter 3:19, keruso, proclaimed. It's the word used for preaching the gospel. It is not the word used for preaching the gospel, but rather it points to a proclamation of victory. See, this passage may imply that the powers of darkness thought they had destroyed Jesus at the crucifixion, but that in raising him from the dead, God turned the tables on them, and Jesus himself proclaimed their doom. Hallelujah. If this is the correct interpretation, it is crystal clear that the verse has nothing to do with human beings having a second chance. No. Now, another possible interpretation is that between his death and resurrection, Jesus went to the place of the dead and proclaimed a message to the wicked contemporaries of Noah. Now, the proclamation now was not a gospel message, but a proclamation of victory. Still another possible interpretation is that this passage portrays Christ as making a proclamation through the person through the person of Noah to those who, because they rejected his message, are now, at the time of Peter's writing, spirits in prison. These imprisoned spirits are awaiting final judgment. So, hey, regardless of which of these interpretations is correct, Bible scholars unanimously agree that this passage does not teach that people can hear and respond to the gospel in the next life. It doesn't happen. It won't happen. So, okay, does 1 Peter 4 verse 6 imply a second chance? In this verse, Peter writes, "This is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead. That though judged in the flesh, the way people are, they might live in the spirit as God does." Now, Bible scholars suggest that perhaps the best way to interpret this rather difficult verse is that it refers to those who are now dead, but who heard the gospel while they were yet alive. Now, this makes sense. In view of the tenses used here, the gospel was preached, that's in the past, to those who are dead, dead presently. Seen in this light, the verse does not teach a second chance for the wicked dead. It just doesn't. Now let's get to the meat of the matter here of our lesson today. What is the great white throne judgment we see in the Bible? Unbelievers of all ages will face the great white throne judgment, a horrific judgment that leads to their being cast into the lake of fire, found in Revelation 20. The judge is Jesus Christ. For God the Father has committed all judgment to him. This throne is great because the one who sits on it is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This throne is white, suggesting that the one who sits on the throne is pure, holy, and righteous. The judgment takes place after the millennial kingdom. Speaking of that, go to our previous podcast. There we talk about Christ's millennial kingdom. So this judgment takes place after the millennial kingdom, Christ's 1,000-year reign on earth. We know it takes place after the millennium because the Apostle John, after describing the millennium, states, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated upon it." Now, I need to underscore that those who participate in this judgment are here precisely because they are already unsaved. Those judged are called the dead, in obvious contrast to the dead in Christ. This means that this judgment, the great white throne judgment, will not separate believers from unbelievers, for all who will experience it will have already made the choice during their lifetimes to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that people arrive at this judgment is sorrowful beyond measure, because they have no chance of redemption now. They are there because they are unsaved and they are about to be cast into the lake of fire. It's hard to even begin to imagine the sense of dread that will permeate the minds of those who will be there. So how do we know that the participants in the great white throne judgment will be resurrected from the dead? Well, the Bible says so. Scripture reveals that those who participate in the great white throne judgment will be resurrected for the very purpose of facing the divine judge, Jesus Christ. During his earthly ministry, Jesus soberly announced that an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. That's John 5, 28 and 29. So virtually every possible location and place will yield the bodies of the unrighteous dead. The sea, death, and Hades, and all will be resurrected. Revelation describes two types of resurrection. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. These are not chronological resurrections, but types of resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection of Christians, Christ followers. And the second resurrection is the resurrection of the wicked. Now, dear one, it's very important to grasp that even though all Christians will be resurrected in the first resurrection, not all Christians are resurrected at the same time. There is one resurrection of the righteous at the rapture, before the tribulation period. There is another resurrection at the end of the thousand-year millennial kingdom. And these are both part of the first resurrection because they all occur before the second, final resurrection of the wicked. So for this reason, we can say that the term first resurrection applies to all the resurrections of the righteous, regardless of when they occur. The second resurrection is a sobering, frightening thing to ponder. It's described in Revelation 20, verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged. See, the unsaved of all time, regardless of what century they lived in, whether before the time of Christ or after, will be resurrected at the end of Christ's millennial kingdom. They will then face judgment at the great white throne judgment. Tragically, the outcome of this judgment is that they will be cast alive into the lake of fire. The Bible says that books are opened at the great white throne judgment. Well, which books are these? Revelation 20, verse 12 tells us that the books will be opened at the great white throne judgment. These books detail the lives of the unsaved, the Christ rejectors, and will provide the evidence to substantiate the divine verdict of a destiny in the lake of fire. The works that will be judged will include unbelievers' actions, their words, and even their thoughts and motives. Now, we also read of another book, the Book of Life. The idea of a divine register containing names goes back as far as Moses' encounter with God at Mount Sinai. The Apostle Paul speaks of his fellow workers as those whose names are in the Book of Life. In the book of Revelation, this Book of Life is mentioned six times. And it contains the names of all those who belong to God. In Revelation 13, 8 and 21, verse 27, the Book of Life is said to belong specifically to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When Christ opens the Book of Life at the great white throne judgment, no name of anyone present at the judgment is in it. Their names do not appear in the Book of Life because they have rejected the source of life. They've rejected Jesus Christ. Because they have rejected the source of life, their destiny is to be cast into the lake of fire, which constitutes the second death and involves eternal separation from God. That's a frightening prospect. Now, will degrees of punishment be handed out at this great white throne judgment? Yes. As a backdrop, all who participate in the Great White Throne Judgment have a horrific destiny ahead. The Bible characterizes their existence in the lake of fire as involving weeping and gnashing of teeth. It involves condemnation, destruction, eternal punishment, total separation from God's presence, and tribulation and distress. Woe to all, the Bible says, who enter the lake of fire. Scripture also reveals, however, that there will be degrees of punishment in hell. The degrees of punishment will be commensurate with the degrees of sinfulness that they lived on earth. The Bible provides significant support for this idea, too. In Matthew 11, verses 20 through 24, for example, Jesus speaks of things being more tolerable for some than for others on the day of judgment. In Luke 12, verses 47 and 48, Jesus spoke of the possibility of receiving a light beating versus a severe beating. Jesus also speaks of certain people who will receive greater condemnation than others in Luke 20. In John 19, Jesus spoke of greater and lesser sins, and thus greater and lesser guilt. So let's not forget that God is perfectly just. His judgments are fair. So, for example, at the judgment seat of Christ, some Christians will receive rewards, while others will suffer loss of rewards. Christ is fair in recognizing that some Christians live faithfully on earth, while others do not. His judgment of them will reflect this reality. Conversely, at the great white throne judgment, Christ is fair in recognizing that some unbelievers are more wicked than others. Hitler, for example, will be judged much more severely than a non-Christian moralist. Jesus' judgment of the unsaved will reflect their degree of wickedness. So as we close this podcast today, we might summarize these judgments in this way. Just as believers differ in how they respond to God's law, and therefore in their reward in heaven, so unbelievers differ in their response to God's law, and therefore in their punishment in hell. Just as there are degrees of reward in heaven, so there are degrees of punishment in hell. Our Lord is perfect. He is perfectly just in all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear one, you might be wondering if heaven or hell is your eternal destiny. If you have any doubt in your mind, then you need to come to Christ right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Dear one, before it's too late, before your final breath, you must make things right with your God. And you do that by coming to the cross of Christ, by humbling yourself, coming to the cross of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, and opening your heart to His Lordship. I want to pray a prayer with you today that I've prayed with many people over the years whom have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their lives have never been the same. The Bible says if any man, any woman is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are now of God. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus right now. Let's pray together. And pray this with all your heart, dear one. Dear God in heaven. That's right, pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me, Lord, for the way I have lived and for the things I have done. Cleanse me with your precious blood, Jesus, from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess Jesus Christ. And in my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, and he is alive right now. I accept Jesus Christ at this moment to be my Savior and Lord. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am now washed. I am cleansed. I am forgiven. I'm healed. And I am reborn. And I thank you, my God and my Savior. And dear Jesus, I will live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In your holy name I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, dear one, if you've prayed this prayer with me with all your heart, welcome, welcome to the family of God. You are now a citizen of heaven. Jesus is now Lord of your life, and you'll never be the same again. Now, you need to tell other people about this decision you've made for Christ. That's so important. And you know, equally important, go to church next weekend. Ask God to help you find a great local church where you live. And get plugged into ministry. Get plugged into that church. And help other people. And tell other people about Jesus in your daily walk. If you've prayed this prayer with me, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Click on the contact tab and say, Tony, man, I prayed the prayer with you. Jesus is now my Savior and Lord. If you'll do that, I'm going to shout with you. I'm going to rejoice with you. And I will send you a free resource, postage paid, to help you get started in this new walk with Christ. Oh, praise God. Thank you guys for listening. I pray for you all each and every week. And I pray that this series on Bible prophecy is a blessing to you. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Slusas. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.